The following recording offers you a number of different options for the Daf Yomi. It begins with a recording of this, the 13 cycles of Daf Yomi, and that's done rather rapidly, within a half an hour or less. That's followed by a quick review between 5 and 10 minutes, depending on the length of the Daf. After that comes the very same Daf from the previous cycle, done at greater length, in much greater detail, with different participants in a different ambience. You could choose one for your original learning, one for review, alternate, or whatever you do, enjoy. Today's Daf from the second Brachot is Daf Nun Beit. We are holding on Nun Aleph Amud Beit, right at the end of the Halakha Mishnah. So we begin the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan. Now the Braita that goes through some of the dinim that we had in our Mishnah, we're going to go through basically all of the different machlokot between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, one by one. So let's start at the top. Tana Rabbanan. Devarim shebein Beit Shammai Beit Hillel b'Seudah. The first issue was Beit Shammai omrim mevorech al hayom v'amcharkach mevorech al hayayin. So we first make the bracha of Mekadesh HaShabbat in Kiddush, and then we say Borei Pri HaGefen. Why is that? So here the Braita expands with the Mishnah left unexplained. The Braita explains. Beit Shammai's logic is very simple. Hayom goreim l'yayin shiyavol. First of all, what's the reason that we're having wine right now? Only because it is Shabbat. Doesn't it make sense to first say b'kadesh haShabbat? And furthermore, not to mention the fact, uchvar kidesh hayom. Shabbat already has happened. The moment that Shabbat came in, that came first. So you already were supposed to be mekadesh hayom. Adayin yayin loba. It's not time for the wine. So how could you make the bracha on the wine, which you were mitchayev on, after you already mitchayev on the kiddush? So from any way you look at it, kiddush comes first. Beit Hillel omrim, on the contrary, mevorech al hayayin, v'achar kach mevorech al hayom, borei pri hagefen, and then mekadesh haShabbat. First of all, hayayin goreim l'kedusha sheteyamer. You already said vayechol haShemayim v'aretz twice in the Beit HaKnesset. The only reason you're saying it again now is because you have wine. And if that's the case, then the bracha of the wine comes first. Davar acher, something else to take into consideration, is that we have a general rule about things that happen more regularly than other things. Now, which is more regular, the bracha on yayin or the bracha of mekadesh haShabbat? Obviously, berkat hayayin tadira, berkat hayom eina tadira. The rule is tadir v'sheino tadir, tadir kodem. And continues the braita, ve'alacha k'divrei Beit Hillel. Now, the Gemara begins an analysis of this braita. Why did the braita find it necessary for there to be another reason that Beit Hillel had to mention about Tadir v'sheino Tadir? Well, it's simply this. You might think that, okay, fine. It's true that Beit Hillel maybe have a good answer to one of Beit Shammai's points, but there's another point that Beit Shammai made, which was that Kvar Kidesh Hayom. For that, Beit Hillel says, okay, but I have another point in my favor as well. And that is Tadir v'sheino Tadir. So v'chite ma'atam tarte, Beit Shammai had mentioned two things. And I've only mentioned one thing, v'chachada. No, not true. There's another issue, v'chanani. Here too, there's another point, tarte, which is birkat hayayin tadira, u'birkat hayom eina tadira, tadir v'eino tadir, tadir kodem. Now, the braita continues to say, halacha k'divrei Beit Hillel. I mean, do I really need to know that? We have a general rule that halacha is k'divrei Beit Hillel. Pshita, anafka Batko. Wasn't there the famous Batko in Yavne that paskened halacha k'Beit Hillel? Well, first of all, how do you know when this braita was said? This braita may be of ancient origin, and it may have been before the Batko. So you brought them according to Batko, and therefore the braita had to pasken in this particular case halacha k'Beit Hillel. Or, remember, not everybody holds of these batkols. So, Ibaitem la'achar batkol, and it's going out even Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua says, we pay no attention to batkols. We tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu to mind his own business and love b'shamayim yi, and we're not interested in getting any help about how to paskin a halacha. Now, the question is, you're telling me that it turns out that according to Beit Shammai, Birkat Hayom Adifa, that it is preferable and more important to deal with the Birkat Hayom. Is that true? Va'atanya. I mean, remember, Birkat Hayom has two parts. Kiddush V'Avdalah. Those are both Birkat Hayom. The Kiddush is at the beginning to separate the Shabbat. The Avdalah is at the end. But it's the same mitzvah. To be Zohar Yom HaShabbat as a different time. Well, assuming that it's the same, then how do you explain the fact that we have a braita that states, somebody comes into his house on Motzei Shabbat. What is the order of what he does? He first makes a bracha on the wine, then he makes a bracha on the flame, Bori Mori Ha'esh, and then he makes a bracha on the Bisamim, and at the end he says, Havdalah. Now, what if he only has one kos and he still hasn't made his birkat hamazon al hakos? He made another kos echad, then he saves it for after the mazon, bets birkat hamazon, and then everything follows that. Now, here it says that the havdalah comes at the end. And here it says, according to Beit Shammai, that the kiddush is at the beginning. But what makes sense? This is Beit Shammai anyway. Oh, no. It can't be Beit Hillel, because there's another key to interpreting this, and that is, which came first here? The Borei Morei Ha'esh, the Borei Minei Besamim. It says here, first the Ma'or, and then the Besamim. But who is the one who holds that? Man Shamat Leidit Le'Haisvara. It's Beit Shammai who holds that first comes Borei Morei Ha'esh. And we know that from a bright other Tanya. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, lo nechleku Beit Shammai Beit Hillel al hamazon shebat achila ve'al avdalah shebesof. There's no question at all about what comes first when it concerns birkat hamazon versus the avdalah. The machloket was only limited to the difference of which comes first, ner or besamim. Shebeit Shammai omrim, first comes the ner, and then comes the besamim. Ubeit Hillel omrim, first come the besamim, as we do it, and then comes the ma'or. So that means that this is Beit Shammai. And if it's Beit Shammai, then I thought Beit Shammai holds that the Birkat Hayom ought to come first, and here Birkat Hayom comes last. How do you explain that? Well, now, wait a minute here. Excuse me. You're quoting Rabbi Yehuda. His analysis of Beit Shammai. But Rabbi Meir doesn't hold to that. So who's to tell you it's Beit Shammai, Ali, but Rabbi Yehuda? Couldn't it be Beit Hillel? And then it would work out perfectly well, according to Rabbi Meir, which is basically the way our Mishnah has it. Beit Hillel, Omrim, Ner, Ubisamim. So maybe it is a Beit Hillel. No, of course not. Look, the Mishnah says, according to Beit Shammai, ner, mazon, besamim, v'havdalah. Beit Hillel omrim, ner, ubesamim, mazon, v'havdalah, v'hatan bebraita katani, imen lelakos echad, menichila akra mazon. In that same braita, it makes a point of saying, if you only have one cup, then everything comes after Birkat HaMazon. So that doesn't work out. Well, Aliba the Mishnah, Mishal Shalom Kulan La'acharab. Therefore, the only way to make sense of this braita is that it's going Aliba to Rabbi Yehuda, but it only fits the sheet of Beit Shammai. In Rabbi Yehuda, what's it, Borei Morei Ha'esh comes first, and nonetheless, Abdullah is the end. So Shema Minal Beit Shammai, Aliba to Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, so now we have that straight. Now, can we get back to my question? My question is Birkat Hayom Adifa, like he says here, Kiddush first? Or is the Birkat Hayom Adifa, as it says here, Havdalah last, wine first? Ah, that's really not a problem. Kasavri Beit Shammai, Shani Iyula Yuma, Me'afika Yumi. There's a big difference between the onset of Shabbat and the goodbye to Shabbat. Obviously, Iyula Yuma, when it comes to welcoming the Shabbat with Mikadesh Shabbat, of course it's better. Kama de makdimim le, but if the earlier you attend to that duty of welcoming the Shabbat, the better. But if you're saying farewell to the Shabbat, then obviously afika yume, kama de makdimim le, adif. The later you say goodbye, the better off it is. Otherwise, it would appear it looks like you're anxious to say goodbye to Shabbat if you would say the Abdullah first. So that question changes the entire equation. And obviously, the points that Beit Shammai made, only the part about we've already been chayit in the Kiddush. I mean, that's already something that relates clearly more to Kiddush than Avdalah. Asks the Gemara, but there's something else you just raised that's very disturbing. You're telling me that according to Beit Shammai, the Birkat HaMazon is the most important thing. Everything comes after that. But obviously that would only be because if you have only one kos, you're saying you must make the Birkat HaMazon on that kos. That implies that according to Beit Shammai, the Birkat HaMazon's relationship to the kos is fundamental, and it's a chiyuv. In other words, you're telling me that according to Beit Shammai, Birkat HaMazon to unah kos, and therefore we must save this kos for Birkat HaMazon. The problem is, in the Mishnah it says, Otnan, Bolem Yain La'achar HaMazon, Inein Shom Ela Oto HaKos. Let's say, you only have one cup of wine. You finished eating. Now, what do you do? Says Beit Shammai, what do you mean, what do you do? Drink the wine. I don't know. What's the problem? Mevorech Al HaYain, and then you say, Birkat HaMazon. What happened to my cup? I'm assuming if he says to make a bracha on the wine, he means to make a bracha on the wine and drink the wine, no? Nah, he means you make the bracha on the wine and then you don't drink the wine. What? We have a man of Shiaton. Doesn't it say if you make a bracha on a kos that you have to taste it? Okay, you do. Taste it. The tayin lay. But if you're tayin lay, then you ruin the wine in the cup. Then you won't be able to use it for the bracha of Avdalah. Because if it's tayin lay, then tamo, pogamo. If you drink from a cup, then the wine in the cup becomes unsuitable for making a birkat mitzvah. Now, you don't drink from the cup. You drink from your fingers. So you don't actually drink anything from the cup. If you take anything out of the cup with your finger, then you're not going to have a whole kos. Go, Omar, kosh. No, we just said. Pagmo is to drink from it, not to have some of the wine that was on your fingers. So, kosher brachat zarek shiur. If you're going to take any of it out, so then you're going to be mafket the shiur. Akapachet le mishiure. No, we started off with more than we needed. We had tvei mishiure. What do you mean, tvei mishiure? You said if you only have that kos. Is that what you said? Now, wait a minute. Only have that kos doesn't necessarily mean I don't have more than the shiur. It just means I don't have two kosot. That's all it means. So what I have is trei lo havi. That's true, I don't have enough for two, but I have more than enough for one. So if I take a little out, then I'm not pogim. So mechad nafish. By the way, this whole issue of pogim is nogea particularly the kosher bracha. However, according to many, it is also nogea those who are going to get the wine from the kosher bracha. They should not have kos that's pogim. Because of that, many are makbet to first pour out to the mesubim in their own cups, and only then to drink from the cup. However, lamaisa we paskin that anyone drinking from the same cup, it's considered to be part of the same shtiyah, even though it's a different person. So then it's not pogum. There's a big question, however, if someone drank from the cup and then spilled the wine into other cups to give out, then it's not considered perhaps to be one long shtiyah, and then each one of those cups actually is pogum. There's also a question here as to whether the Gemara sticks with this business of drinking it from your fingers. Because if you hold the fingers is also pogum, as some do, you got a big problem at the Seder Shel Pesach, where you go down, you stick your little fingers in the wine. What are you doing sticking your fingers in the wine? If that's pogim, actually, I say with Chaim, it used to be very matan on that Chaim Brisker. Okay. Not to be pogim, to go in that fashion. Anyway.
Even though we'd be filled a little bit.
Yeah, right. The Maisa refilling should be perfectly okay. Some dosis brings in a pinch. You can even fill a little bit of water to be on pogim. All right. Anyway, but not that we're doing our daf fast. For more information, listen to last year's. For even more information, listen to the 14 years before. And so on. Anyway, ask the Gemara, V'atani Rabbi Chiya, Beit Shammai Amri Mevorach Al Hayayin V'Shoteyu, says Beferish. That when Beit Shammai says you mevorach on the wine, he means enjoy the wine and then say Birkat HaMazon. So you tell me that according to Beit Shammai, Birkat HaMazon is stone cups. You're right. I give up. Trei Tanoyim Limei Beit Shammai. Obviously, we have two versions of the Tanoyim of Beit Shammai as to what the definitive opinion was in the house of Shammai on this issue. Beit Shammai Omrim Kemetz Machlokot. Do you first do Nitilat Yadayim and then pour the wine into your cup, or do you first pour the wine into your cup and then do Nitilat Yadayim? What is this all about? Remember that according to Rashi, we're talking about Yayin Lifnei HaMazon. According to most, we're literally talking about a regular Kiddush and the question of the Nitilat Yadayim for the bread that we would be doing anyway. And we'll see more about this as we proceed here with the Braita. So the Braita gets into the details. Okay, according to Beit Shammai, first do Nitilat Yadayim, then take care of your cup. Why is this? Can explains the Braita now. What might happen if before doing the Nitilat Yadayim, you're pouring the wine and the water into the cup? I'll tell you what might happen. You may have some liquid on the back of the cup. If there's liquid on the back of the cup and you did not do Nitilat Yadayim, then your hands are Stam Yadayim. Stam Yadayim have a din. We made this takana in the Yudchet Gezerot. Stam Yadayim are metame mashkin. Now, if that happens, mashkin, by definition, as a gezera, always become a Rishon Latuma. Once they become a Rishon Latuma, they can be metame the kos. Only min Rabbanan, because only an Avatum is metame kelim. However, the Rabbanan made a takana on mashkin because of the fact that if you have someone who's metame from Tumei Yotze Migufo, let's say you have a Zov, you have a Nidana, there's a little spit on the fingers, then you could actually have an Avatuma with rok, which would be metame the kli. But you're right. Because of that, we made a gezera that all mashkin, being a Rishon, can be metame kelim min Rabbanan. However, we also made a very special caveat in that gezera, in order that people should know this is not a tumah d'oraita, it's only a tumah d'rabbanan. And what is that? That is that a cup that becomes tameh from mashkin to bein, only d'rabbanan, only the outside of the cup is tameh. Inside of the cup is not tameh. Okay, put that in your pipes, keep it there before we light it, and let's continue. So now, we are worried, says Beit Shammai. What happens if there's liquid on the back of the cup, which will now become tameh from your hands? And now, they liquids, tame, automatically become a rishon atuma, and they will be mitame the cup, and therefore sari, which you can't do. Yes, think about it. If you're worried about that, what does it have to do with being wet? Couldn't your hands holding the cup be mitame the cup? No. Of course not. Yadayim, stam yadayim, have a din of a sheni of natuma. The rule is, sheni is not osa shlishi b'chulin, ever. This cup being chulin doesn't have a problem. But if it's mashkin, it's by definition a rishon natuma. And therefore, there is a problem. So that explains everything. Beit Hillel says, no. First, you pour the wine and water into the kos. Then you do netilat yadayim. Because if not, imatomer, then we've got a problem. Suppose you don't dry your hands very well. Suppose you have a little bit of water on your hand. Now, if your hands touch the cup, suppose the cup was tummy. If the cup, the back of the cup was tummy, then the water, which touches the back of the cup, becomes a rishon, will turn your hands back into yadayim that are tomatoes, and you'll have to do netilat yadayim over again, and won't. And therefore, you'll end up eating a suda with your yadayim tomatoes. So Iba Tomer notlim liyadayim tekhila gzera shem yitamu mashkin shebiyadayim machmatakos, and then those mashkin will be kosher on the time of yadayim. Wait a minute, won't the kos anyway make the yadayim tame whether they're wet or not? No, a kli like this, which is only a drabbanan and it's achorav artmeim, cannot be mitame a yumin. Ain't kli mitame adam. Oh, wait a minute. So, but if the kli is tame, then why isn't it going to make the mashkin in the kli tame? So, how could you use a kli that's tame? Won't v'nitme l'mashkin shebetocho? No. It was tame minarabbonan by touching mashkin tebeim on the back. We're talking about shenitmo acharav b'mashkin askinan, where the din is tocho tahor. The inside of the cup is tahor, and only the back of the cup is tame. And you will recall the mishnah d'tnan. As we see in the Mishnah, kli shenitmu achorav b'mashkin, if you have a kli which was makabel tuma by having mashkin rishon on the outside of the kli, and this of course is entirely an invention of the Rabbanan, because midiraita a kli can only be makabel tuma from an avatuma. That in that case, the din would be to make it clear to everyone that we are not dealing with the dioraita. We could do terrible things if we thought we were, because we would burn truma and kachim and so on. So therefore, only the outside of the kli is tame, akorav tmeim, tocho. However, the inside, the ogen, which is its rim, the ozen, which is a handle shaped, a round-shaped handle, yadav, which is a long frying pan-type handle, like a hand, all those things are tar. If, however, the inside of the kli is nitma, even from mashkim to meim, then nitma kula. Okay, but I saw bottom line. And I said, so what's the machlokas? I mean, both of them are saying something, but what are they arguing about? Oh, that's very simple. But my commission, Beit Shammai holds that you're not allowed to use at all a kli that has its outside being tamei b'mashkin. Why is that? Because he holds of another gezera. His gezera is, suppose some drops splatter onto the back of the kli. Now those mashkin will become tameim. They will be metame the adayim. Therefore, we don't allow you to use a kli that is tame. If we don't allow you to use a kli that is tame, then obviously we don't care in the least about Beis Hillel's problem, namely, your hands may be wet. So, let your hands be wet. The kli is tahor by definition. We don't have a problem. On the other hand, if your hands have not been washed, who cares if they're dry? There may be some liquid on the outside of the kli. Then your hands are going to be the time of the kli. We just said you're not allowed to use a kli tame. That's our approach to the whole sugya, and therefore we couldn't care less about Beit Hillel's concern. What's Beit Hillel's concern? That maybe your hands will become tame from the tame kli. There's no such thing as a tame kli. You couldn't hold a becher that was tame. We wouldn't allow you to use it. Therefore, there's no problem. The lek alamigza, therefore, Beit Hillel's concern has no meaning to us. We have no reason to be geyser shama yitamu amashkin shebiyadayim b'kos, because the kos is tar. Beit Hillel, on the other hand, holds you are allowed to use a kli. Shenitmu achorav b'mashkin. Aye, what about Beit Shammai's problem of maybe something will splatter? Nah, don't worry about that. The whole thing is drabbanan. They're not that shkichei. It doesn't happen that often. The drabbanan don't make gezeiras about things that don't happen often. So the most important problem we have is ikel amekash shema yitamu mashkin shebe adayim machmat hakos. And by the way, there's another issue here. Davar acher, take it from the tilat yadayim seuda. When you are going to have a seuda, you don't want to do the netilat yadayim before the kos. I mean, by then it's a hefsek. One of the things you're supposed to do immediately after washing is to have your seuda. wait a minute, well, why is he bringing that up? I thought we had a perfectly reasonable explanation of the whole issue. My davar acher, no, Beit Hillel is saying like this. He's telling Beit Shammai, look, even according to you, okay, you hold you're not allowed to use a kli shakorav tameim because of your gezeirah. I understand gezeirah nitzot zot. Okay, but bottom line, what is more important? Can't you agree that it's more important not to create a hefset between the netilat yadayim and the eating of this sudah than it is to worry about this far-fetched issue that you've got over here about being metame the coast and everything come off? And this is more important. Now, the issue here that we need to consider halacha l'maisa is whether one would do netilat yadayim before kiddush. Because the whole problem over here, the stake of the Tilat Yadayim, the Suda, is a question of mozgim at that course. Not where you have everything ready. Not the Rashi says, Yayin for the Amazon. Here you've got the table set. You're going to go directly from the Kiddush to the Suda. It's very possible that that's not called a Hefzik. And indeed, in many places, the minute was that you wash first. Because, especially, they used to do this in Tells, I think they still do. Because the hefset between the Kiddush and the Suda, when you have hundreds of people washing, is ridiculous. So it makes more sense, let everybody wash, sit down, and then you can, the one person who's making the bracha, he will do the Kiddush, and then he can do the bracha tamotzi and go directly from Kiddush tamotzi. Many people do that. There's other minhagim that do that only in the morning, because there's less of a hefset. The Kiddush is just for a prayer gefen. The minhag in most places, of course, today, is no, just do the Kiddush, then waste your time doing all the Megillah, and then go ahead and have your Suda, because it takes you for the Tilat Yadayim. Suda. Beit Shammai Omrim. Okay, the next thing that we worried about is where to put your cloth napkin after wiping your hands. So, let's see how the Braita explains this one. So, Beit Shammai Omrim, Bikaneach Yadav Vimapa, and you put the Mapa down on the table. Beit Hillel says, no, you're Kaneach Yadav Vimapa, and you put the Mapa down on your chair cushion. Are you gentlemen getting bored by these extremely important sugyas? Or is it just that my voice being so hoarse is putting you to sleep? All right. So no, this is not etiquette. This is a serious machlok, as we are about to see. Why? Because if you allow a guy to put his napkin down on the cushion of his chair, then how do you not worry about you're allowed to have a chair that's tamei, somebody tamei might have sat on it. Now, if your napkin is wet after you dried your hands, then the mashkin in the napkin will become a rishon latuma. Now, the next time you touch it, it's going to be metame yura yadayim. And therefore, bad news. Wait a minute. If you're worried about that, and you're allowed to have a chair that's tamei, why wouldn't the chair be metame the napkin directly? Why are we saying that it's only because the napkin might be wet? No. Because ain kli metame kli. A kli that's not an av atuma is not going to be metame, another kli. And therefore, the napkin being a kli cannot be mekabel tuma. Well, what about the guy who's sitting on it? Won't the keset be metame the person? No. Ain kli metame adam either. So therefore, our biggest problem, says Beit Shammai, is to put that napkin wet down on the cushion. Beit Hillel says, no, on the contrary, don't you dare put it on the table. Put it only on the cushion. Why? Because if you say to put it on the table, then what happens if the napkin is wet and it's mekabel tuma from the table? And now you've got food on the table. So anything touching this mapa is not going to become tamei because of the mashkin that became tamei from the shulchan. Well, if the shulchan is tamei, wouldn't it be metame the ochlin directly? No. The shulchan is only a sheni l'tumah. And a sheni is not osur b'shlishi b'chulin, as we said, unless there's some liquid in between. Okay, great. And bottom line, what's the machloket? The machloket is very simple. Beit Shammai holds you cannot use a shulchan that's tamei at all, even if it's only a sheni. So therefore, what's the problem of putting a napkin on the table? What is his reasoning? Even though sheni is not metame shlishi, so who cares if your table is a sheni? I'll tell you who cares. A kohen who's eating truma cares. So truma can be mekabel truma from a sheni, and in order to avoid situations where a table may be metame truma that's on it, we answer all usage of tables that are sheni. What a life. Zera mishum okle truma.
BTLL. Just imagine, Richie, how much richer things would be if we had to worry about Tomb of Atira. You think you've got your hands full now, huh? You think you've got to worry about the kosher list in Finland. Imagine the tummy list in Finland. Good Lord.
That's why they have lakes.
BTLL, sorry. There's no problem. Anybody who would eat truma is Zariz, and he knows very well. You're talking about Kohanim. Kohanim's Rizine. Look at Barnea. Never is he not the first one here. And therefore, since they are his Rizim, we don't have to worry about there being Mekabel Tuma. Davar Acher. Besides, there's another issue here. And what's the other issue? Ein Netilat Yadayim L'Chulin Menat Torah. There's no need for Netilat Yadayim Midyoraita at all. Uh-huh. What's that all about? My Davar Acher. What did they say? No, Beit Hillel is saying to Beit Shammai like this. I know what's bothering you, dear Beit Shammai. Dangerous seat. Dangerous seat. What's bothering
you?
You're used to it. I'm sorry.
Not at all.
So, I know what you're going to ask me. You're going to ask me, dear Beit Hillel, can you explain why you're worried that the Eichlin are going to be Mekabel Tumah because of the Shulchan, but you're not worried about the Adayim on the Keset? I don't get that. Well, obviously, both are going to be Mekabel Tumah, right, if it becomes Tummy. But you don't seem to have any worry about the Adayim. I mean, if you're really worried, so then you shouldn't allow the Tumah at all, like us. If this is an issue, then deal with it. Why do you say, well, all that's going to happen is the Adayim will become Tumah? I'm just saying the same thing about the food. All that's going to happen is the food's going to become Tummy. That is what we want to explain to you. Behind our logic here lies an assumption that it makes more sense to worry about food than it does about hands. And why is that? Ha'adifa. Because hands have no basis in the Torah whatsoever. There is no such thing as requiring the tilat yadayim l'chulin min ha'tayra. Mutaf shi'etamu yadayim. Better to let the yadayim become tame. To let lu ikar b'dioraita, which have no basis in the Torah whatsoever. Va'al yitam u ochlin di'ikuhu ikar b'dioraita. Ochlin, sof could become tame b'dioraita. And therefore, let us take the gezerot about ochlin more seriously than the gezerot about the yadayim. And they're not the same. If they were the same, you're right. We have to not allow you to use a shulchan tame and put it on the shulchan, like you're saying, or something like that. But don't tell us that we're being inconsistent. There is a logic behind that inconsistency. Okay, next question. Do we clean off the floor or the table, as the case may be, before we bring the Mayim Achronim or after? Okay, so Beit Shammai says that you have to sweep the floor, or we who eat on tables, we would have to brush off the table and then do Netilat Yadayim, referring to Netilat Yadayim for Mayim Acharonim. She'im ata omer, notun yadayim techila. If you're going to have people do mayim acharonim while there's still crumbs all over, then you're going to be mafsid ochlin if water drips on those crumbs, and that would be terrible to be mafsid ochlin. Now this piece we take out because it's really very repetitive. It doesn't add a thing. Avolatilat yadayim lebeit shammai to do first. That's not reasonable. My time mishum pirurin. That's obviously what we just said. So cut that. As the Bach points out, it does not appear in the older versions of the Sefer. Ubeit Hillel omrim. Beit Hillel says, well, what's the problem? If you have a knowledgeable shamash, and everyone has a knowledgeable shamash, because it'll turn out that is the issue that they're arguing about, whether you're allowed to have a shamash who's not knowledgeable. But, says Beit Hillel, if you have a knowledgeable shamash, shamash tamid chachamu, he knows perfectly well to remove any pirurim that have a shear of a kezayit, and he'll only leave pirurim that do not have a kezayit. So as things fall, he's going to sweep them away to make sure that they're not going to be mufsad, because you're not allowed to be mafsid something as a shear of kezayit, and therefore all we need to worry about here are crumbs that are meaningless, and therefore there'd be no chashash to be mafsid. And this proves Rabbi Yochanan, Misayel Rabbi Yochanan, the Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Pirurim She'im Ben Gezayit Mutar La'abdan Miyad, you're even allowed to throw them into the sink and down the drain. Now, B'maika Miflagei, what is the bottom line, Machloket? Very simple. Beit Hillel obviously hold that you're not allowed to employ a shamash as an Am Haaretz. Beit Shammai Sarri, Mutar L'shtamesh B'shamash Am Haaretz. And therefore, you have to worry about making certain that you've got rid of your crumbs before washing your mayim.
You know, David, there's no tumor.
No, this has nothing to do with Tuma. This has to do with Hefsid Ochlin. However, since nowadays it is our minhag to be careful to wash in a container as opposed to on the floor as they used to, or on the table, because of that, we're not makpid on cleaning off the table before. Amrav Yosef, Rav Chanina, Amrav Huna, you should know that in the entire parak, we paskin like Brit Hillel. The only place where we don't paskin like Brit Hillel is here, that you are allowed to employ a ma'aret as a shamash. Actually, Rav Hoshaya flips the machloket and has Beit Shammai saying that you're not allowed to employ an amaret, and therefore he paskins here too, like Beit Hillel, that you are allowed to employ an amaret. Next question. So Beit Shammai omerim ner umazon. Now, of course, we had two versions of this. We had the version of the Mishnah, which is Rabbi Meir, and we had the version of the Braita, which is Rabbi Yehuda. So, just to be mamchish the issue, Rav Huna Bar Yehuda once came to Rava's house, and he sees Rava, who says the bracha on the besamim first, and then on the candle, like we do. So he said, oh my gosh, isn't this a machloket Beit Shammai or Beit Hillel? And in the Mishnah, it's quite clear that they're neither of them. I mean, we're arguing about the Ma'or. They're all agreeing that the Ma'or is supposed to come first. The Tanya Beit Shammai Omrim Ner Umazon B'Samim V'Avdalah U'Beit Hillel Omrim Ner U'B'Samim Mazon V'Avdalah. So, who are you going like? And Rava continued the statement and said, yes, Zu Divrei Rabbi Meir. Alva Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Lo Nechlekel Beit Shammai Beit Hillel Al Amazon. That's Betchila. Abdullah is Besov. Actually, the Machloket was specifically about the relationship, the hierarchical relationship between the Ma'or and the Besamim. Beit Shammai Omrim first Al Hama'or, and then on the Besamim, and Beit Hillel Omrim Besamim V'Achar Kach Ma'or. And Omer of Yochanan continues Rava, Nahagu Ka'am Ke Beit Hillel Al Livet Rabbi Yehuda, which is exactly what I'm doing. Thank you very much. Now, Beit Shammai concludes his description here of the Amdola issues, and he says, Shebara Me'or Ha'esh. And Beit Hillel says, Borei Me'orei Ha'esh. Says Rava, now let's not get confused over here. The word Bara definitely means in the past. Who has created? So, Bibara Kuliam, everybody agrees that Bara means Bara, Lashon Avar. The question is, what does Borei mean? Same type of machlokes we have with Hamotzi Lechem in Haaretz. Is it a reference back to the one who was Motzi, or is it implied a process that we're still in the middle of? So they're arguing about Borei. Beit Shammai says Borei also means the Savrei. That Borei means that which is going to be created, the one who creates today, tomorrow, and therefore it's inappropriate. Beit Hillel says no. Borei also means Dibara. Masif Rav Yosef, well, how can you argue about that? Doesn't it? There's pasuk after pasuk. Yotzer or uvorei kosher. That vorei kosher is back in my separations. Yotzer harim uvorei ruach. Boom. Back in my separations. Vorei hashamayim v'notayim. Back in my separations. How can anybody say vorei is not mashma avar? El Amr Rav Yosef, Rav's analysis is faulty. In reality, Bara and Borei, everybody both agree, Kuleyama Kulilo Plike, Debara Mashma. The real machloket between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel is about whether it's Me'or Ha'esh or Me'orei Ha'esh. Beit Shammai Savre. Beit Shammai says, look, we are talking about the concept of Esh, the Yesod of Esh. There's Chadanugura Ikabanur. We have one light that comes from fire. Beit Hillel Savre, we're not talking about the concept of Esh. We're talking about the candle that you're carrying. And that candle has got all kinds of different parts in it. You'll notice the bluish color and the yellowish color as it's been improperly oxidized. And yeah, how can you talk about one color? And especially if you've got some leftover wine from last week, so you've got all kinds of really cute little colors coming out there. Why don't you make a bracha on all of them? And therefore, Tuve Nure Ikebenura, there's lots of pretty colors. Tanin Amiachi, Amrulan Beit Hillel Beit Shammai, Harbe Ma'orot Yesh Bo'or. Light has got a lot of color. Ein Mevorchim. Now, Bishlama, it says not to make a bracha on the ner of a goy, and then afterwards it says do not make a bracha on the ner of a avodah zarah. Okay, or Bishlama. What's the issue exactly? The ner. I understand the ner of a goy is Mishum Delo Shavat. This ner has not rested. And since it has not rested from doing things on Shabbat, as Machloket, whether this means that Malacha was done to it, and even though obviously the Goy is not Mitzvah in Malacha, but nonetheless, it was used for things that are against Shabbat. used for malacha. Others learned the Lord Shabbat. It was lit on Shabbat. Now, this is not to be confused with the Ner on Mitzvah Yom Kippurim. It's a completely different issue of a Ner Shabbat. Remember that the candle that is used on Mitzvah Shabbat is a candle that is coming as a memorial to the first humanly made fire after that first Shabbat. So at the end of Shabbat, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Natan Da'at to Adam HaRishon, and Prometheus came to town. Fine. Now, on Yom Kippur, if Yom Kippur doesn't come out on a Shabbat, why the heck are we lighting a candle for Havdalah? Therefore, on Yom Kippur, the only point of the candle is to indicate the difference between Kodesh and Chol. It's part of the Havdalah process, nothing to do with the Borei Morei HaEisha we're referring to here.
Still make the problem.
We need an excuse to do that. So we need to use it for something. If it wasn't Shabbat, so then it doesn't show anything. See, if we had this fire the whole day, we couldn't use it for anything. And now all of a sudden we're using it. Things have changed. You see. But if nothing changes, that's a completely different sense of Shabbat. You know, we're talking about the covet of the Havdalah, the being mavdo on Shabbos, on a candle that somebody's been using all Shabbos long. What is that? That's the covet of the Shabbos? That's a different Lo Shabbat. Okay. And this is Lalocha. We, in fact, do not use a fire that had been used for doing Malach on Shabbat. So I understand the Ner is Bishop de Lo Shabbat. But what do you care if a Goy had Bisamim? My time alone. Or review number off. We're not talking about something that you borrow from your non-Jewish neighbor. We're talking about a party. And there's Bisamim at the party. And you want to make a brok on those Bisamim at Tzoy Shabbat to relieve the pain of the loss of your neshama yitera. And the din is that you cannot do that because stam misibat of the kochavim is lavod azarai. Any party has got some kind of excuse for, you know, it's all, the orgy is all for the great Lord Diogenes. Anyway, so because of that, we don't use it. Wait, how can you say that? The Seifa continues on and says, Ein bevorchim lo al ner v'lo b'sim shel avodah zarah. Mashman at the Reisha was not talking about avodah zarah. It was a different issue. No, you don't understand. That's not a different case. That is an explanation of the first case. Matam kama. The Mishnah is trying to say, why is it that Ein bevorchim lo al ner v'lo b'simim shel akum? B'bleishas stam misibat akum is la'avodah zarah.
Based after that moon base, Elo Devarim Shibin Bek Shamayo Bek Bekilubisuda, Bek Shamayo Mimavarakala Yom Viakaka, Vivarakala Yain, Bekililu Mimavarakala Yain Viakaka, Vivarak Al Hayom. So yesterday we discussed in the Gemara the various issues that are Nugia there. Tadir Vishenu, Tadir, the Yom, Bingar, the Yain, and so on. Bek Shamayo Mim, Notlim Liadayin, Viakaka, Bozgimatakos, and today we're going to be discussing this among others. So first you do Nitilat Yadayin before the Seuda, and then you're Mazer because Yain, whereas Bekilalom Rimos Gimatakos, that's Makwakis, but Shamayam in the Kaneach Yadad Bimapa, whom in Ichala Shulchan. Whereas Bekilelomrim, no, don't dry your hands on your napkin, on your cloth napkin, and put it down on the table. Put it down on the kese, on the chair, and the little cushion that you're sitting on. But Shamayam in the Chabdim Chabayit, Yachakak Notrim Yadayim. So first, before you do the Mayim Acharonim, you sweep the floor beneath the area where you were eating, and then you do Mayim Acharonim. And actually you do Mayim Acharonim first, and then you sweep. Beit Shamayim Ner Umazon B'Samim V'Havdalah, Beit Hillelim Ner U'B'Samim Mazon V'Havdalah. The question over here seems to be both Beit Shamayim and Beit Hillel agree that Borei Morei HaEish here, the Ner, comes first. The Shaila is the reason before the Bisamim, and the Shaila is the relationship of the Bisamim to the Mazon. And we're going to see that there's other approaches here. Beit Shammai Amrim Shebara Me'or HaEish, Beit Hillel Amrim Borei Me'orei HaEish. Okay, this is basically what we're going to be doing today, those parts of the Mishnah. Right. So yesterday we spoke about the first machloket, was whether you make the bracha on the yayin before you say kiddush, or whether you say kiddush before you make the bracha on the yayin. Now we're holding on daf nun beis now, and they were on the second line. Asks the Gemara, built into the assumption of the discussion over here about the kosher bracha, is that you absolutely need the Birkat Hayom is Adifa. Whereas Beit Shammai is saying that, apparently you're saying Birkat Hayom is both Kiddush and Avdalah. At least that's our assumption. Kiddush and Avdalah are really one mitzvah. You're bringing Mavdil Shabbat from the rest of the week. Do it at the beginning, you do it at the end. Both are included in Boreinu, in Zecharat Yom HaShabbat. So the question is, this seems to be assuming that Beit Shammai would always say Birkat Hayom is Adifa. problem is, Tanya, we have a brayta that indicates otherwise. It says, "Anichnas lebeito v'motzei Shabbat, mevarech al hayayin v'al hameor v'al habisamim v'yachakach omer Avdalah." This is strange. Here it says that somebody now who needs to make Avdalah, Motzei Shabbat, first he makes his bracha on the yayin, and then he says Avdalah. As a matter of fact, if he only has one cup of wine, then since he needs to make a bracha on the kos of yayin, both for Avdalah and for Brikat HaMazon, in that case, he'd have to leave the wine for the end, and he would now say all of the brachot on that kos, both for the Mazon and on the Havdalah. But in any event, it seems clear he puts the Havdalah off till the end, whereas according to Beit Shammai, we would assume that the first thing he would do would be to say Havdalah, because that's what Beit Shammai holds you do for Kiddush. Why would Havdalah be different? But wait a second, why are we making the assumption that this is Beit Shammai at all? Who's to say that this is going according to Beit Shammai? No, you can't say that it's going according to Beit Hillel, because it says here, Mo'or v'acharkach b'samim, correct? I'm going to tell you, Nichnas l'beitah, mevarech al hayayin v'hala mo'or v'hala b'samim. Now, who is the man Yomar who holds, man Shamat Ledit Lehi Svara? Who's the man Yomar who holds that the Nair comes before the Bisamim? That's clearly Beit Shammai. Now, of course, the Nair Bisamim in our Mishnah, it has Beit Hillel Omer Nair Bisamim too, right? Beit Shammai Omer Nair Mazon Bisamim, Beit Hillel Omer Nair Bisamim. We're obviously making some strange assumptions here. The reason we're making strange assumptions, that there's a machloket Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel about this, is because of the fact that the Gemara ultimately explains that the Mishnah's version of the machlokes Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel is not the only version. Actually, there's another version, according to Rabbi Yehuda, and that turns out to be the more authoritative version, in which we find that indeed there's a machloket Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel on Ma'or HaBisamim. This we're going to see later. Here we're bringing it in Agav. Okay, but let's, instead of going out of order and running to the machloket, which we're going to see at the end of Amud Beit, let's just take for granted now that we know this machloket, that the Gemara is going to mention briefly, the Tanya. Where do we know that this is Beit Shammai's approach to say that first we do the Birkat HaNer and then the Birkat HaBisamim? The Tanya, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, the version of the Mishnah is wrong. Lo nechlaku Beit Shammai o Beit Hillel al HaMazon shebat achilav al Avdalah shebasov. There's no machloket at all in terms of the relationship of Birkat HaMazon and Havdalah. Havdalah is the last thing for sure, both according to Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai. The only machloket between them is the relationship between the Borei Minei B'Samim and the Borei Minei Ha'ich. That's what they're arguing. And Oman Nechlaku ala Ma'or v'ala B'Samim. Shebeit Shammai omrim Ma'or v'achar kach B'Samim, which is exactly what it just said over here in this braita. U'Beit Hillel omrim B'Samim v'achar kach Mi'or. And therefore, since we know that this is the way that Rabbi Yehuda interprets the machlokes Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai, it cannot be that the braita that said over here, Havdalah coming at the end, is going according to Beit Hillel, because after all, the organization of the Mahor and the Samim in the braita is following our Libah to Beit Shammai. Because it says to first make the bracha of Oreinu Orei Ha'esh, and then to break the bracha on the B'Samim. Now, of course, the obvious question is, who's to say that the machloket of this braita is following the approach of Rabbi Yehuda and the machloket of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel? Maybe it's consistent with our Mishnah. So therefore, asks the Gemara, Mimai to Beit Shammai, Ali to Rabbi Yehuda. Who's to say? You're creating a problem. What's your problem? Again, let's remember what we're dealing with here. Our problem is that we made the assumption that according to Beit Shammai, the Kiddush Hayom always comes first, whether it's B'Kiddush or whether it's B'Avdolah. Both of those are dinim of Kiddush Hayom. Here we find a braita that says b'feirush that Kiddush Hayom, in the sense of Havdalah, comes at the end. We're creating a problem as a contradiction to Beit Shammai because we're convinced it's Beit Shammai. And why are we convinced it's Beit Shammai? Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, the organization of making a bracha on the Ner before you make a bracha on the B'Samim is only true according to Beit Shammai. Because of that, we've got a contradiction to Beit Shammai. Now, the obvious way out of this is to say that there's the braita over here is indeed Beit Hillel, which is why Havdalah is at the end, and it's going according to the organization in the Mishnah, our Mishnah, in which Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel don't argue about the Ner and the B'Samim. Everybody's agreed that you make a bracha on the Ner before the B'Samim. I mean, why are you making a problem by insisting that this is Beit Shammai Aliba the Rebbe Yehuda, when it could just as easily be Beit Hillel Aliba the Rebbe Meir, namely the construction of our Mishnah? So therefore, as the Gemara, Mimai the Beit Shammai Aliba the Rebbe Yehuda, why make a problem out of turning the Braita into Beit Shammai because it has the Mo'or first, which is only Beit Shammai according to Rebbe Yehuda? Maybe it's Beit Hillel, which is why Abdullah is at the end. Why does it say Eish before the B'Samim? Because it's going according to Rebbe Meir of our Mishnah, who says that that's Beit Hillel Shita. No, I can't. Lo sakataita. The cutting haka be matinitin. Beit Shammai omrim ner umazon besamim vahavdala. Ubeit Hillel omrim ner besamim mazon vahavdala. Correct? That is the structure in our Mishnah. Goes in the order of, yes, you're right about the ner besamim, but the question is, where's the mazon? But take a look what it says in the Braitha. In the Braitha it says, what in the Braitha katami, that im eno elakosechad, minicho liachar hamazon, and then mishashelin kulon la'achorav. And according to that, how could it possibly be in the order of our Mishnah? Because, I mean, our Mishnah doesn't allow for such a thing. So how could it be now our Mishnah, I'll leave it to anybody? So Shemamina, the Beit Shammai, I'll leave it to Rabbi Yehuda. The way Rabbi Yehuda is learning, it's fine. It works out very well according to the second organization in the Machlok of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. And therefore, Mikol Makom, bottom line is, I mean, what are you going to do with the fact you have a contradiction in Beit Shammai? Here, Beit Shammai says Havdalah comes at the end. In our Mishnah, Beit Shammai says that Kiddush comes first. Go explain that. Answers the Gemara, your original assumption was wrong. The fact that Beit Shammai holds Kiddush Hayom is Adif does not apply to Havdalah, even though it's the same. It's for a very simple reason. Kasavar, Beit Shammai holds that we have to consider Shani Iyulayum and Yafukayum. There's a difference between the Kavod of saying a Kiddush Hayom first when you're bringing in Shabbat than saying Havdalah first when you're going away from Shabbat, obviously, because Iyulayum kamad magdeminan le Adif. Remember, the question over here is, having determined that the Kiddush Hayom is Adif, the assumption is that Adifut puts it into the first position. Well, that's true. It puts it into the first position. But what's the first position vis-a-vis Havdalah? The last. Because the more kavod you're showing the day, the further off you're going to put off going away from the day. So indeed, Beit Shammai is being very consistent. We consider it to be very important. But Afik Yom HaKamadam HaKarinam Le'adif. Since the further more away we put the end of Shabbat, the more kavod we're showing to the Kedushat Hayom, that's precisely why we do it. If we would make it first, then it would be indicative of our willingness to say goodbye to Shabbat, as if it's a burden for us to have Shabbat, which is certainly not a kavod of the brachat of the Kedushat Hayom. So that explains everything. It could be Beit Shammai, a little bit of Rabbi Yehuda. Nonetheless, Havdalah is innately different than Kiddush. Now, the bottom line, however, here is clearly that you told me that we got to worry about that coat, right? I mean, you said, wait and do everything afterwards. You've got your coat for your mazon. Are you telling me now that Kasavri Beit Shammai de Birkata Mazon to una coat? Is it really true, though, that Beit Shammai holds that? I thought that in our Mishnah, it says just the opposite. It's an anbalam yaile achar mazon. You have wine now that came after the meal. You didn't have an opportunity before. And you don't have enough wine to have a kos for after Birkat HaMazon. It's an ancient mellow tacos. If all you've got is that one cup, Beit Shammai says, so what's wrong? So drink it. Enjoy. That if he made the bracha on the coast, that he drank the coast, in which case there's nothing left for Birkat HaMazon. It's going to be rather difficult for him to have a kosher bracha without any wine. So my lot, the Mavorech Alei Avashati, the he had to drink it. No, he didn't drink it. He just said the bracha. What? Mavorech Alei Monach Alei. On Amar Mavorech Tzarech Shiyatom. What is that supposed to mean? First of all, I mean, how do you make a bracha and not do te'ima? It's a machlokas we're showing about here, whether we're talking about in general at any meal, whether we're talking about a situation of Havdalah on the Tzai Shabbat. Rashi, we'll just follow Rashi here. We're talking about any meal, and therefore it has nothing to do with the question of te'ima prior to Havdalah and so on, which is all of the other issues that come up over here, since it's saying Toyim Leif. Of course, this is, by the way, a very practical question in the other direction, according to us. If you have a kosher bracha, and it is about Tzai Shabbat, and you haven't said Havdalah, you say Havdalah after Arvit, when you finish your Sudash Lishi, what do? If you make the Birkat HaYayin, then you have to be Toyim. But if you're Toyim, then you're eating before Havdalah. You're not supposed to do that. So you make a bracha and still be Toyim. This is where all of that question comes up. In the Gemara, according to those who learn, that indeed we're dealing with the Masai Shabbat situation over here, like Tosfos. But in any event, however we understand it, it's clear that Beit Shammai, if Beit Shammai is allowing you to drink this host before, then he doesn't require to have a kos of Birkat HaMazon. Otherwise, how can you drink it? So the Gemara is saying, well, maybe he doesn't drink it, then it's rather odd that he's saying a bracha on it. I mean, obviously you have to drink some of it, right? Well, but he does, says the Gemara. He actually does drink of it, a little bit. He's toim it, but he doesn't drink it. So here, I'm a bar, so she atone. The toim, he does drink a little. But wait a minute, how can you drink a little bit out of a kos and then use it with Birkat HaMazon? Because a kosher bracha cannot be pagum. And having had now a sip from this kos before, You now cannot use it after your mazon anymore for a bracha, because it's no longer suitable for a kushal bracha. The omamar ta'amo pogmo. Well, what you do is, you take a little bit out of the kosher. So you make the bracha, take a little bit out, turn lebi yode, you know, like they do at the weddings, don't they? There's always the latest, one of the latest one up, which is if you say, you want to lick your fingers to make it clear that you were saying the bracha also for yourself, you're going to be yotzi, I'm going to bring it for the other one, so anyway, so you drink a little bit from your hands, but I understand that means that you took a little bit out of the coast. If you take a little bit out of the coast, then you no longer have enough. I thought we needed to have a coast of Malay. And now you're focused on Mishiure. Well, I mean, you had more than a shiur in the first place. You make me crazy. You said before, Ein Sham Elo Toha Kos. You said you don't have enough for Kos for after Birkat HaMazon, if you're going to drink it now. Then you told me, well, actually, you do drink it. But if I do drink it, so how do I have my Kos? So you're saying, well, you had more than enough. But I thought it says you only have enough for one Kos. You don't have two Kos, but you have one Kos plus. You could drink that little plus, and then Shelo Havi. But Michat Nafish, it's more than one. You drink the more than one. And now you had your wine, Betoch HaMazon. And now you say the Birkat HaMazon. And now you say the bracha on what's left without having a kos pagum and with still having a shear on the kos, and then everybody's happy. Yeah, well, except for one small inconvenient braita in which Rabbi Chiya brings Beit Shammai saying Bitfei Rosh. You say a bracha on the wine and you drink the wine, and then you say Birkat HaMazon, which is exactly what it sounded like in the Mishnah Lalar, that Beit Shammai essentially was saying, forget about the kos after the mazon. You have wine. It's part of your surah. It only showed up. Now drink it. That's part of the Avakalta Visavat. You keep it for the Berakva. You're supposed to be eating and drinking now? And here, yet on the other hand, it says, if you only have one kos, as Beit Shammai says, put it off till after the meal, make up your mind. Treta noya leave it to Beit Shammai. There is no way to make up our mind. There's clearly two different approaches of Beit Shammai. So we cannot actually consolidate these two, the Brice and the Mishnah. They must follow a different approach of Beit Shammai. Look, Gabi, the Kiev, of course, Shel Bracha. Beit Shammai Omrim, the next machloket that we had in the Mishnah, which is completely unrelated to these issues, is Nitilat Yadayim. When does it happen? Does it happen before Kiddush, Mizikat HaKos, or after? The Torah Rabbanu Beit Shammai Omrim Notlim Liyadayim Ve'achakach Mozgim Et HaKos. She'im Ata Omer Mozgim Et HaKos Techila Gizera Shema Yitam'u Mashkin She'achorei HaKos Machmat Yadal Ve'yachzeru Ve'yitam'u Et HaKos. Says Beit Shammai, there's no choice in this matter. You have to first do Netilat Yadayim. Because let us say that you leave your Yadayim Tmeot, alright? Now, what's going to happen is you touch the Kos. The Kos may have some wine that dripped on the outside. They come into contact now, those mashing, come into contact with your unwashed hands. Your unwashed hands have a status of a sheni latuma, which can be matame mashkin. Those mashkin will then become tameh. The halacha is that every time mashkin becomes tameh, they immediately turn into rishon latuma. And the rabbanon word goes there, that a rishon latuma can be matame keli, mit rabbanon. And that would mean that now your tameh hands are going to be matame the kos. That would be terrible. And then yachzeru yitam'u et hakos. I don't get it. If your hands are tameh, what are you giving me this whole long Rube Goldberg construction of having the wine outside become tameh? Why doesn't the kos itself become tameh from your yadayim? If that's what happens in the end anyway. So you litame yadayim lakos directly. No. Yadayim shniyote. Let's get this right. The din of yadayim is that they are given a level of tuma, of a sheni latuma, even though your body is a whore. We're worried about the yadayim and touching things and coming into contact. We found Ramazim in a pasuk that tell us yadav lo shutat b'mayim, special in yonim when it comes to yadayim, and it's megeh nekiyas and gezerah of tuma and so lagabi truma. So we made a takana that yadayim ashniyas. But remember that a sheni latuma does not have any impact on chulin, only on truma. Truma can become tamei from a sheni latuma, and ein sheni oser shlishi b'chulin. Now, the only thing that could happen is that Sheni, if now it touches Mashkim, those Mashkim always have a response as if they've touched something that is actually an Avla Tuma. And they become a Rishon Tuma. And Mashkim have very special status in this Tuma world. First of all, because Ochlin, remember, are not even the Kabel Tuma unless they've been put into Mashkim first. So Ochlin are not Alulim the Kabel Tuma, the way Mashkim are. Secondly, Mashkim, remember, can actually be an Avla Tuma, which is most unusual. An ochel cannot be an avla tuma. Standard drinkable mashkim are also not normally able to be an avla tuma. But because there are mashkim that are yotzim migufo, so there are various liquids that come from the human body that are an avla tuma, because of that, mashkei hasav and so on, we also have a different din, bichlal, for the way we look at mashkim when it comes to tuma. And we made a takana that any mashkim that becomes tameh, we don't analyze how it becomes tameh. If it touches something tameh, it's a rishon latuma. Period. Again, only mitarabana. What's more, we were even more modern in that we said once these mashkin become a rishon kluna, they also can affect a kli, because after all, there are mashkin that can really affect a midiraita. So we gave now the mashkin then of a rishon, the kli which touches them, a sheni latuma that came in touch with the rishon. Though normally there's no such animal. A kli is either the kabel tuma from an avatuma, which takes to rishon, or it's not tummy at all. But we created an entity which is now a sheni latuma on a kli. Okay, and we've got our background now. Good. Comes along Beit Shammai and says, okay, given those assumptions, what happens? Your hands that are not clean for the Tivak Yadayim will have no impact on the cup. True. But if there's any kind of wine on the back of the cup, you fill the cup now. You're holding the cup with dirty hands. I say dirty, I mean tummy hands. You're holding the cup with tummy hands. You come in contact with some of that wine. Then that wine becomes a Rishon Atuma. And it's a mashkin. And a Rishon Atuma mashkin can turn that cup into a tummy cup. And now we will be having Tamei Yayin Shel Bracha here. Again, not that we have Isurim in Tuma, but we were Machmir, again because of Inyanim of similarity to Truma, just like we won't eat Peirot that are wet, time that they're wet. That's like you're showing that you're being the Tamei Dari. We don't drink a kos now where the kos is Tamei directly from your hands, and therefore it's best to do Netilat Yadayim first so you don't run into this problem. Then even if you've got wine on the back of your kos, it's not going to become Tamei from your Yadayim and everything will be clean and neat. The issue of those things is the nafkamina between outside and inside, which surprisingly is true even for metal when it comes to the yadayim. Only the back of your becher will become tummy.
So the yayin inside is still good.
Yeah, unless it comes in contact with the yayin on the other side. So litami yadayim la'akos titayim shniyosei, nein shniyosei shlishi v'chulin, el yadayim mashin. And that explains our position. Whereas Beit Hillel say, the opposite is true. First you should be mosaic to code. Then you should do nitilat yadayim, because if you do it your way, Beit Amai. Imatel mer natuni yadayim tichila. Okay, now what happened? Your hands are still damp from your Nitilat Yadayim. You now pick up the kos. If the kos had previously been tamei, then your hands will now pick up that tumah because of the damp in your hands that becomes a rishon from touching the kos, which is a sheni. V'yachzeru v'yitamu et hayadayim. Now you'll say, well, so what's the difference if the hands are wet or not wet? Why doesn't the kos just make your hands on a? No, ein kli mitamei adam. There is no way to be a mitamei a person from a kli that's only a sheni. So v'nitmei lamashkin shibitoho. And if that's the case, that Beit Shammai Beis Hillel here is obviously allowing us to use a kli that's on it. Because otherwise, how do we start? And what's the problem if you're dying if I have to make sure that the kos was hard? So if you're telling me that the kli itself is tamei, then why am I not drinking tamei wine, essentially? And why don't we say that, as the Gemara says, why don't we say nitmei lamashkin shibitoho? Why isn't the wine inside of the cup actually as if it's directly in contact with the tumah over here? Ah, you see that because the mashkin inside is not tameh, because we're talking about a kli shenitmu acharav b'mashkin askina. How did we get this becher to be tameh in the first place? It was touched with mashkin that indeed had been a rishon the tumah midrabana. The din is that surprisingly toho tahor v'gabo tameh. That in such a case, even though we were gozer tumah on the kli, we made a gezera that these mashkin that are metameh kalim. Because of the gezeira that there are bashkim that are avatuna, nonetheless, because we have a model in the Torah of a klicheras that distinguishes between inside and outside, we apply that model even to klisheta. Klisheta meaning things that you could be betayer in the mikvah. And the halacha is the tznan kli shenitmu achorav b'mashkin achorav temein bat tocho ogno ozno v'yadav tehorin. Since this tumah is only a derabbanan, it's very important for us to know the difference between a tumah derabbanan and a tumah d'oraita. Because if we think something is tumah d'oraita that comes in contact with truma, we're going to burn the truma. We're going to burn the kodesh. And then we'll be over on this d'oraita. Because really, there's nothing wrong with this truma and kodesh d'oraita. To make those differences clear, we make interesting and strange differences in the impact of a tumah derabbanan in order to distinguish it from a tumah d'oraita. And that's what we did. And everybody says, what? The outside is tumah, the inside is hard. That's insane. Ah, it's only a tumah derabanan. In which case, if it comes into contact with truma, they won't burn the truma. And that's what we did over here. So we made a hekera on this. Okay, so over here, the outside, and only the outside, as opposed to the inside of the cup, or even the ogen is the extended inside, that sometimes bends over on the outside, or you have a nice kiddush cup and so on, is all called inside over here. And the handle is called inside, and the base is called inside. All of these things are going to be tar. On the other hand, nitma tocho, then nitma kulo. Since our vision is a klicheras vision. Once you're metame the inside, then the whole thing will be tame. Which means, what's the bottom line of the machlokas over here between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel? Certainly, there's no machlokas in terms of any of these dinim, correct? There's both Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel moda mashkin become tchila. Both Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai are moda that ain't kli mekabel tuma midoraisa except from an avatur. Both Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel are moda that there is a takana of mashkin rishonim to be metame achore kelim midorabona. Both Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel are moda that your hands could be wet. Both Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel are moda that you're not supposed to use yayin that's become nitma. So what are they arguing in? The Mamaikam Yifuk is very simple. Beit Shammai holds that in order to make kiddush, you cannot use a becher that has a tamei backside. In which case, what's your problem? He says, well, I don't understand what your problem is. His hands are tar, so what's going to make them tummy now? Since you have to be using a becher that's kosher for kiddush, a becher that's kosher for kiddush will not be metame the water on your hands. So therefore, what do we want to be very careful about? The thing we need to be careful about is make sure that your hands are clean and they're not going to be metame any wine on the back of the coast. That's our problem. You're the problem.
The coast
isn't the problem.
But first let's finish.
Because if you allow the back of the coast to be tummy, then what happens if some of the wine spills out, okay? You're pouring wine, and very often you have a couple of drops on the outside of the kli from the pouring. That's called nitzotzot. So we have a gezera mishum nitzotzot. What's going to happen now is the wine on the back of the kli, if you would have allowed the kli to be tameh, will indeed become tameh, be metameh your yadayim, and therefore we don't allow you to have a kli like that. And therefore, since you have a kli that's tahor, what's the problem? There's no chashash that your hands are going to be wet. Even if they're wet, they're not going to come into contact with any kind of tumah. And therefore, leka l'mikza, there's no reason for us to make a gzera shema yitamu amashkin shivi yadayim because the coast certainly cannot be matame your mashkin shivi yadayim. Therefore, it's adif to let you, who are the problem, have yadayim that are tahorot and not be matame any nitzotzot on the back of the cup. Whereas Beis Hillel, he begins with the assumption that you are allowed to use a kli where only the back of the kli is tamei. So mutter lishtamesh bekli shenitmu akura b'mashkin for your kiddush up. And what's the problem? Nitzotzot, nitzotzot lo shlichi. How often times that going to cause a problem? The real problem is over here that since the cup is allowed to be tamei, if the hands are still damp, then they're going to end up becoming tamei through the water that is still on them from the back of the cup, which can be matamei mashkim, to make mashkim rishon to be matamei yadayim. So the question between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai is the direction of the chashash. If we assume that the coast has to be tahor on its back, the direction of the chashash begins from you and your hands being matamei something on the coast. But if we make the assumption that the coast is tamei, the way Beit Hillel says, then the problem is tumah that will come from the coast to your hands. And therefore we want to avoid your hands being wet and let you do it to not get down afterwards, so that if there was any problem, now when it comes to the bread, you won't have a problem even if it's tamei out. So therefore Beit Hillel, again, sabri mutar lishta, nitzotzot are not a problem to him. But you do have to worry about ikala mechash, shema yitzamu mashim shiviyadayim machmata kos. Our real problem is, what's going to happen to your chilled, damp hands because of the kos which you have a right to use, which is tamei me'achorav. Besides which, hey, I mean, take it from the tilat yadayim siudah, no? I mean, you did netilat yadayim. Don't you want to say amotzi lechem in haaretz? What are you doing making a broch on the wine and saying kiddush after you did netilat yadayim? Well, hey, wait, whoa, that came from left field. All of a sudden, somebody's bringing in this issue. My davarach, when did this come up? No. In other words, Beit Hillel is saying to Beit Shammai, look, I mean, I, let's say you want to do it your way, okay? So, litidchu da'amnitu asur lishtamesh b'klisha achorav tmei'in t'gazurim ishum nitzotot. I understand, okay, you've got this farach hashash over here. You want to say it's got to be tahor. The problem is that maybe my hands will end up, I mean, come on. Don't you have to take into consideration this issue as well in your, it's all a judgment call. You can't handle everything. So now, I mean, the question is, what's better? Do it my way, do it your way. But at least in my way, we get away from the problem of having a hefsek between the yadayim and the brach on the suudah. So why don't you take that into consideration? Afilachi ha'adifa. The tekef, the yilat yadayim, suudah.
Just bothered, why didn't we list this in the tifas report? We didn't say take it with Yadayim Se'udah. He says, well, because it's Mashmut is already from the Mishnah, there's no need to say it, but saying things that aren't in the Mishnah.
Okay, the next thing we had was the question is, where do you put your napkin after using it to dry your hands? So Beit Shammai Omri Mikaneh Hedab B'mapao Minicha Al HaShulchan. You have to put your damp napkin on the table.
A little towel, if you did.
It's like a little towel that they continue. I mean, it's like, well, you know, we use the fancy napkins, and they use that napkin to dry your hands. Even the Katkila, or both Kamedakot Osim
is.
Shema Tomer ala Keset. What's your choice? You're going to say, take the napkin, don't put it down on the table, put it down on the cushion that you're sitting on. No? Because then you're going to have to worry. Now, let's say that the water is damp enough to be makabel tuma. It becomes now a rishon. You touch it with your hands, your yadayim are going to become tameot once again. V'yitamu et hayadayim. Now, wait a second. So why isn't the keset metamei the mapa directly? Why do we need to worry about the water? No, that's because ein kli metamei kli. Remember that a kli can only be makabel tuma from an ava tuma. But a kli that became tamei is only a rishon tuma by definition. So no kli could ever be metamei another kli. Okay, so how about the kli being metamei the person? I mean, forget about his napkin. Metamei keset v'gabra. No, ein kli metamei adam for the same reason. An adam is only makabel tuma from an ava tuma. Therefore, put it on the table. We still haven't discussed what the problem is with the table, which is what we're going to be getting to. Whereas Beit Hillel Omrim, on the contrary, put that napkin down on your keset, because if you say you put it down on the table, then you're going to have a real problem. Shema yitam umashkin shibemapa machmata shulchan. V'yachzeru v'yitamu et ha'ochlin. Now you're going to have a tamei mapa on the table. Forget about getting your hands tamei. And then you're going to have a problem. You're going to tell yadayim. It'll be metamei the ochlin. Now wait a minute. If the shulchan is tamei, why isn't the shulchan metamei the ochlin? I mean, certainly ochlin can be makabel tum'ah from less than an avatum'ah. If the shulchan is a rishon tum'ah, it could still be metamei ochlin, even of chulin, to be a sheni. We're talking about a shulchan that's only a sheni l'tuma. Obviously, that's not possible with your right. That's only possible in the case of mashkin that are metame keli. And therefore, since it's only a sheni cannot make a shlishi when it comes to chulin. The only way it can do it is by turning mashkin into a rishon, which in turn will touch the ochlin. And that's exactly what might happen if you put your wet napkin down on the table. Then that wet napkin becomes now tame because of the mashkin in it to be a rishon. Any food that touches the napkin is going to become tame. Okay, again, so what are they arguing about? The Maimonides, it's very simple. Beit Shammai holds you can't use a shulchan sheni in the first place, because if you do, what happens if you got somebody who's eating truma and he sits down on your shulchan sheni? Truma is makabo tum'ah from a sheni to make it a shlishi, to pass it anyway as an equivalent of a shlishi, and now that truma will be prohibited to be eaten. So how can you have a tummy able? Whereas Beit Yael Sabri mutar l'shtamesh b'shulchan sheni. What's your problem? Somebody coming in eating truma. People who eat truma know perfectly well to be very careful where they set their truma down. Ochlei truma. And there's not going to be a problem of the shulchan being matami the truma. So therefore, it boils down to that issue. According to Beit Shammai, since you can use a shulchan tamei, so what are you going to do? You can't possibly put it down on the shulchan. Then you're going to be matami the food. So it's better to put it down on the keset. Besides which, I mean, the whole thing is drabonim, right? Whoa. Where did that come from now? My davar acher, again from left field somewhere. Oh, I'll come and Beit Hillel to Beit Shammai. Let's say, I know what you're going to do. You're going to turn around and say to me, look, Beit Hillel, you're not making any sense. I mean, you have a problem of the eichlim on the table, or you've got a problem of your yadayim, right? One way or the other, something's going to become tame, either the keset or the shulchan. I mean, so why are you more makpid on the eichlim, that they shouldn't be makabel tuma from the mayim in the mapa, than you are on the yadayim that are going to touch the stamp mapa that was makabel tuma from the keset? So maishna gabi eichlim de chashina, no maishna gabi yadayim de lo chashina. That's why I'm telling you, I feel a hafi. You have to make now your triage. What's the bottom line? What's more important? My approach is better, because at least this way, if something's going to become tummy, it's going to be your yadayim. Okay, that's the rabbana. But on the other hand, if you ain't it tilat yadayim mechulin min haTorah, isn't it mutav shitamu yadayim to letlu ikar midyoraita? Better hands that have no real basis in a tumah midyoraita. There's no such thing. Either your tummy or your Torah, how do hands become tamei midyoraita? V'al yitamu ochlin ditlu ikar midyoraita. Ochlin sof kol sof can have a tumah midyoraita. I mean, not that there's an issur in that tumah, but nonetheless, that's what we're trying to avoid here. The next machloket we had was whether you need to sweep the house under the area where you were eating before doing your mayim acharonim. Chovah. Tan Rabba. Beit Shammai omrim mechabdim et habayit v'achar kach notnim liyadayim. First sweep the floor and then do mayim acharonim. She'im ata omer notnim liyadayim techila nimtza ata mafsid et ha'ochlim. If you do it otherwise, you're going to end up being mafsid, large pieces of bread that might have fallen to the floor, and therefore to cut out this piece of yavla tilat yadayim, etc. That's not that doesn't fit here. Ubeit Hillel omrim. Well, im shamash tamid chachamo. I mean, I assume you've got a shamash who knows what he's doing. What, is he an idiot? So he certainly would have been notel pirurim sheish ben kizayit, and he would be meniat pirurim sheein ben kizayit. And if it's ein ben kizayit, who cares if they get wrecked by the water anyway? Misayel Rabbi Yochanan, the whole Mishnah clearly proves Rabbi Yochanan's contention from Beit Hillel, the Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Pirurim Sheim Ben Kizayit, Mutar Avdan Biyat. So that's not a problem. So then again, what is the Machloket? The Maika Bifrei. It's interesting. All the issues that we end up arguing are never the things that they're arguing about. They're all agreed, and everyone, they're all agreed that the other one's point is valid. The question is, okay, but what's the bottom line of the situation being different? In each case, it's a matter of situation. So, basically, it's clear that Beit Shammai holds that you are allowed to have someone in your house who's being Meshamesh, the table, who's an Amoritz. And therefore, you won't know that he should pick up pieces that are larger than a Kezayit. Or, he may be such an Amoritz that he believes that a Kezayit is the size of 40 Zaytsev in the way some people do today. And he'll leave all those Kezayitsev on the floor thinking that it ain't Ben Shior. So Beit Shammai is right, Mutar Lishtamesh B'Shamash Am Haaretz, and Beit Hillel holds that it's a Sur Lishtamesh B'Shamash Am Haaretz. That's apparently the Machloket. Omer Rav Yosi Bar Chanina, Omer Rav Huna, I gotta tell you, B'Kulei Pirkei Halachik Beit Hillel, we paskin like Beit Hillel throughout this entire parak, except for this one case, because, just imagine what it's gonna cost you to have a Shamash. When if he's a Talmid Chacham, he knows how to charge. So in this, Bar Me'ahu, the Halachik Beit Shammai. Actually, Rav Oshi has Matnei Ibcha, he changes the Shittot around in the Mishnah to make this work out also Halachik Beit Hillel, because now obviously everybody's got Shamashim that are not Talmid Chachamim. Apparently that's the normative halacha, which means that in the Mishnah that was actually the sheet the way he was Makabalit, the sheet of Beit Hillel, not of Beit Hillel. Rabuna Bar Yoda Ikle Lebei Rava. So, okay, the next case that we had was the Machlokas about Nero Mazon, but according to the version of our Mishnah, it's either both according to Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, it's definitely Nero before Bisamim, either the Nero Bisamim or Mazon, the Nero Mazon or Bisamim. Whereas Rabuna Bar Yoda comes once to Rava, and Chazi Rava, the Baruch HaBisamim Bereshi, was shocked to find Rava doing precisely what we do today, which is to make the Borei Mei Bisamim before the Borei Mori Ha'ish. And he said to him, I'm not like Michli Beit Shammai, but you know, both agree. I don't argue about that you're supposed to make the Borei Mori Ha'ish first. It's not Beit Shammai Omrim Ner Mazon B'Samim Avdala, Beit Hillel Omrim Ner B'Samim Mazon Avdala. Ani Rava Batrei, and Rava continued and said, yes, why don't you say the next piece? Zu Divrei Rabbi Meir, which you very conveniently left out. Avar Rabbi Yehuda Omer Lo Nechlaku Beit Shammai U'Beit Hillel Al Mazon. This bright expands on the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda says there's no such machloket. Mazon is B'Tchila, Avdala is B'Sof. The whole point of the machloket actually was, what comes first, ma'or or b'samim? Ala ma'or ala b'samim, shebeit shamay omrim, ala ma'or v'achar kak b'samim, beit hillel omrim b'samim v'achar kak ma'or. And I was following the shita of Beit Hillel, aliba de Rabbi Yehuda. And indeed, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, now go am to Beit Hillel, aliba de Rabbi Yehuda, and that has become the accepted practice l'halacha. Beit Shammai says Shabara Me'or Ha'ej. Beit Hillel Omrim Borei Me'orei Ha'ej. There's two different issues here. Right? One is the question of Bara or Borei. The other is the question of Me'or or Me'orei. So, Omar Rava, first of all, as far as the Bara is concerned, Kulei Amalo Pligi the Bara Mashma. The word Bara means to pass. Who did create? The Machloki Beit Shammai Beit Hillel is in terms of Borei. Beit Shammai Sabe Borei, being as it's an ongoing act, includes the Atib Lemivra, that Eish which will be created. And that's not the point. We're talking about the Eish that was there in the moment of creation after Adam HaRishon now lights his flame. That's what we're talking about. The light that was, the flame that was, not the flame that is and will be. So therefore, it makes more sense to say the Bara, whereas Beit Hillel Sabre. But look, Bore is also Mashma de Bara. It certainly includes the past as well, doesn't it? Yeah, so it's continuous. Masiv Rav Yosef. And what do you know about the Pasuk? Yotzer Or Uvore Choshev. Yotzer Harim Uvore Ruah. Bore Hashamayim. All of these are reference to the act of creation, and nonetheless we refer to the act of creation with the present, Borei. So if that's the case, it certainly would be adif, according to everyone, to use the Lashon of the Pasuk, even though Bara means the same thing. We ought to use Borei, and in fact, as Tosfos says, this is the reason that we use Borei, because we want to stick with the Lashon of the Pasuk. Therefore, it says, Rabbi Yosef, look, I mean, Bara, Borei, Kulei Hamalot, Pligi, the Bara, Mashma. The question over here is, Me'or and Me'orei. Beit Shammai Sabrek Chad Anura Yika Benura, Beit Hillel Sabrek Tuv Anura Yika Benura. The question over here is whether we should make a bracha on the single notion of flame which emits light, or on the nature of our perception of that flame. And therefore, since we see various colors of light depending on the temperature of the light, we should make a bracha more that includes all of the various impact that the flame has on us. There's a lot of different colors when it's talking about flame. And me'ore, obviously the relationship of ur is flame, and or as light is also fundamental. And when we talk about light, we relate it to the energy that creates that light too.